Welcome to The Art Biz, where we dive deep into the business of being an artist, sharing real stories and actionable insights from artists and art professionals who are shaping the arena in which we all operate. I'm your host, Allison Stanfield, and my mission throughout this show and everything I teach is to help you elevate your art career, amplify your visibility, and connect your art with the people who truly value it. Today, I'm talking with Catherine Hébert. She's the founder of Gallery Fuel, a consulting firm that helps small and mid-sized galleries strengthen their businesses. Catherine brings a rare perspective. She's worked on both sides of the art world, with artists and with gallerists. She's seen exactly where trust can falter and how to rebuild it. We talk about what healthy artist-gallery relationships look like, how communication can make or break representation, and why it's never too late to reset expectations. This is for you if you're seeking wisdom around balance, clarity, and mutual respect in gallery partnerships. Here's my conversation with Catherine Hébert. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to The Art Biz.
Hi, Allison. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. I'm so glad we could do this. It's been really fun getting to know you over the summer. We have so many shared interests and backgrounds, and I love the way our audiences overlap. So I'm excited to get into this. Like me, you started as an art historian and you built a career across both galleries and corporate marketing. Can you share a little bit about your path and how that led you to starting Gallery Fuel?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I went to school for art history and I really envisioned myself working in a museum. But then I had an opportunity to work for the Virginia Museum of Fine Art here in Richmond, where I got to create some of the materials that the docents use. So I loved that historical aspect and the storytelling that came along with just being a docent and how you engage an audience. And then I worked anywhere from like frame shops to very kind of commercial chain galleries, but I learned a lot of sales skills doing that. And then just over the years, somehow I found myself in telecom, international telecom. So I had some corporate experience. And in that part of my life, I learned strategic planning and competitive intelligence and product development and building sales tools and all of that. And over the years, I had an opportunity to start my own business. And I initially worked directly with fine artists. Now, different from you, I was more of a done-for-you type service. So I would build their websites and I would run their email campaigns and create a portfolio for them and look for residencies and show opportunities for them and try to vet some galleries that they might want to submit their work to. So that's kind of where I got my start. I did that for several years. But over time, talking to these artists, I could see that there was a real kind of disenchantment, if you will, with a lot of them with the galleries. I could see that the trust was not really there. And I could also, at the same time, galleries were closing right and left. And it was sad. And I could see a lot of what they were doing wrong, or ways that they could improve, I should say. So I really wanted to go and work with them, with the galleries. I felt like I could probably support a lot more artists that way if I worked directly with fine art galleries. So that's when I started Gallery Fuel. And I've had a wonderful time. I have worked with some amazing gallerists. So that's kind of my path. It's not very traditional, but I think it puts me in kind of a unique position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is traditional? What does a traditional path look like anymore? I don't know.
We don't like traditional paths
anymore,
do we?
No, we don't. We don't, not at all. When did Gallery Fuel begin?
I think it was back to like 2012, maybe.
2012.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you caught them at the end, or the end of the recession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And I've had the opportunity to I mostly work with small to mid-sized galleries, primarily outside of big major art markets. There are some that are in the major markets, New York, London, LA, whatnot, other places. But I really kind of love working with I call them the Main Street galleries,
yeah.
The ones that are, you know, they really have that pure passion for the art still. at the top of their mind, and their motivations for what they do are just so beautiful, and they're just amazing people. So those are primarily the kinds of galleries that I work with right now.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you're there for them. What is the budget or the income for a gallery that size, or a range that we're talking about?
We rarely kind of get into that, but some people have shared, I mean, sometimes it's anywhere from $300,000 a year to a couple of million dollars a year. So it's really kind of across the gamut.
Yeah.
And it depends a lot on where they are in their stage of business. So one kind of unusual thing that I wasn't expecting when I went down this road was that I work with a lot of brand new galleries that are just starting off, and they're not really sure where to begin and how to set up their business in the best possible way. And they come from a wide variety of backgrounds. Frankly, a lot of them do not have any art world experience.
Yeah.
So that's where I can kind of come in and help try to get them on a good foundation.
Yeah. That is so great that they come to you at that point and not when it's too late.
Yeah.
So, yes, I get it.
I like to think that I save them a lot of time and money.
What do you think, what's the gap that Gallery Fuel fills for the gallery world, or for just having a gallery business?
Yeah, I have found that there really wasn't anybody that was talking to this sector of the gallery world, the gallery businesses. There's a lot of people or a lot of information that you can find out, not a lot really, but some, that's more on the higher end of the market, the more like the blue chip galleries. The galleries that, you know, maybe have more than one location on different continents and spend most of their time with a full-time fair, art fair staff. Those aren't the people that I work with. And there really was very, very little information for those people. There's lots of sales and marketing information out there for lots of industries. But I mean, you and I both know that selling art, it's not like selling a car or house or a luxury handbag or a piece of jewelry. There's a lot of different factors that go into that. And just a regular business book or regular marketing book is not necessarily going to fill in those blanks. So that's where I like to feel like I'm sort of filling that gap for this particular need and niche.
Yeah. I love that you said that you thought you could help artists more by also helping, or you could help more artists by helping the galleries.
Yeah, their dealers.
Yes, yes. And so that kind of brings me to what I really am excited to talk to you about, and that is the trust factor between artists and galleries. What do you think trust between artists and galleries means?
Well, we've often heard that, you know, the artist-gallery relationship is a lot like a marriage, and it kind of is, of course. I think it's so important to go into this relationship with your eyes open and really, really understanding each other's roles that you're going to play. It can go beyond, well, the gallery is going to sell the work and the artist is going to create the work, so that's their roles, and don't step on each other's toes. I mean, that's part of it. But I think you need to take it a little bit further and really make sure to be successful that you're understanding each other's goals. So I always encourage my gallery clients to share their overall business goals for their gallery and how they're developing their artist roster and how they're pursuing finding new buyers for their roster, to talk about their goals. And artists could also have some goals that could be unexpected. I mean, of course, sales and exposure are the two primary ones, but there could be some other goals. Maybe they want more critical feedback on their work, or perhaps they're looking specifically for a gallery to help develop their career, and sales is potentially secondary. So you just never know. But if you don't discuss those things up front, I think that establishing that trust is going to be a lot more difficult. So I think it can also break down when a power dynamic establishes itself. And of course, the big one is the lack of communications. So those are things that you want to, before you enter into a contract, to make sure that you're clear on what each other's intentions are and what your roles are going to be.
I'm glad you said contract, and we'll get to that for sure. But I just want to skip a beat here, or take a beat, whatever is the proper terminology, and emphasize this seed that you're planting in the galleries that some of my artists listening who are in galleries are like, man, I wish my gallery would do that. I wish I knew what they were up to. Galleries are as busy as artists are, and we all know that good communication takes time, but yes, it is something that you have to prioritize. But God dang, it's important for trust to have that there. And
absolutely,
I love that you also said you need to do it up front.
And, yes.
And I think that's what, I think that's where some artists get in trouble, because they're so excited to get a gallery that they just are like, yeah, I'm going to have a show, and do you have a contract? Do you have this? And so they kind
right,
of forget that part until it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm working with a gallery now that's just starting off. So they're building their artist roster right now. And I had to kind of encourage them to just kind of step back a minute and really kind of get to know these artists. I mean, okay, you love their work. Fantastic. It aligns with your gallery's mission and your value proposition that you will have for your buyers. But step back and see, like, are you going to have a good working relationship with them?
Yeah.
And a lot of galleries will want to follow an artist for quite some time once they make that a kind of initial discovery, whether the artist introduces themselves or the gallery finds them somewhere else. And I always encourage both parties, a gallery and an artist, to really kind of get to know each other first before you go any further. So as an artist, attend their shows, sign up for their mailing list and receive their newsletters, read reviews, talk to the other artists that are currently on their roster and see what is their relationship like. Any advice as to going into a gallery relationship?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. How much do you think the trust factor comes into play when a gallery is considering adding an artist?
That's interesting. Honestly, Allison, I think that from the gallery's perspective, I'm not sure that it really weighs that much into a new relationship, but I know for a fact that it weighs in with the artists, because either they've had bad experiences, or, you know, artists, they're a community and they talk to one another, so they've heard nightmare stories. So I think in a new relationship, I would imagine trust is more of a sensitive topic, if you will, from the artist versus a gallerist. Now, gallerists have definitely worked with very difficult artists that make their life harder, who serve them well. But I really feel like going into a brand new relationship, the gallery's trust is not something there. It's top of their mind.
Yeah, but you're coaching them and you want them to get to know the artist. So it seems like what you're encouraging them to do is to develop trust with an artist. So maybe they're not currently doing it, but it sounds like it's something you would like them to do.
Absolutely.
If I could put words in your mouth.
Yeah, sort of. But really what I'm kind of encouraging them to do is not necessarily not trust an artist, but just to kind of get a sense of their level of professionalism and to get a sense of, will they be able to meet the expectations that the gallery might have for that artist, such as how much work are they going to be able to produce a year? How professional is their website and their online presence? How are their communication skills? Are they able to articulate about things about their art, their inspiration, their motivation, their technique, their style? Those are kind of the more things that I'm coaching my clients on.
But the trust
signals. I like
to think
that somebody goes into something not trusting.
They are. Those are
absolutely
all trust.
And I guess I really hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Those are all trust signals. We talked about this, about trust signals, in my workshop last week, not related to this, but related to relationships in general. I mean, that those things help a gallery see that you can be depended on, that you can follow through,
yes,
that you can show up, that you can talk to collectors about your work and so forth. I think those make an artist.
And it's a two-way street. The artist should be doing this with the gallery as well.
Yeah. What does that look like?
What an artist should be looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the relationship is changing a little bit, but I think that an artist should, like I said, go to some shows and see how those things are handled. Follow an artist for a while. I think the onboarding process is kind of an interesting way to kind of figure out if there's going to be a good working relationship. So ask those sort of questions, like, how would you introduce me to your audience and to your client base, you know, and how do you anticipate marketing my work and developing my career, depending on what their goals are? But just asking a lot of questions like that, I think, is important. And I always do think it's a good idea to maybe talk to at least one or two artists that are on the roster already and see what their feedback is.
Yeah.
But if you have a number of conversations before you jump into an agreement, over those conversations, you should be able to get a sense of that this gallery knows what they're doing. They have a plan. They're organized. And they have your best interests at heart. And that they are capable of fulfilling the expectations that you have for them, the artist has for the gallery.
Yeah. If a gallery artist relationship is a marriage, then there is a dating period where they get to know one another and those expectations are spelled out. I think that on my side, I think artists don't feel like they have the power to ask those questions. And I think you and I both want to, with this conversation, empower artists to ask questions. It only proves your professionalism when you do.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of what I was getting at when, you know, if there's a power dynamic, if one person becomes a little bit more dominating over the other, it has to be a partnership.
Yeah.
You're both working towards some very common goals.
Yeah.
The gallery, and it's kind of interesting, the gallery cannot exist without the artist. So just that alone should make an artist feel empowered.
Yeah.
An artist, they can sell their own work.
Yeah.
They can find their own collector base. They can do a lot on their own that the gallery does for them. But that, of course, is going to take them away from their studio and their craft. So I think the artist holds a lot of cards.
Yeah.
And they should not be afraid to ask for what they want and to ask a lot of questions. I think it's a great idea to have regular review sessions, regular, just to see how things are going, see if goals have changed. And really to discuss openly what potential challenges either the gallery or the artist is facing that could prevent them from achieving their goals.
Allison jumping in here to remind you that buyers don't magically appear at checkout. They need to know you, like you, and trust you first. That's exactly what we dig into in my Followers to Collectors workshop. Now, I don't typically make my live workshops available on demand, but this one has gotten such a strong response, and I've been watching artists who attended actually implement what they learned and are starting to see real results in just a few weeks, that I just couldn't help myself. In this self-paced workshop, you will map out the full journey, how people discover your art, how they engage with it, how you build trust over time, and how you make it easy for them to buy when they're ready. If you have ever felt like you're doing all the things but not seeing sales, or if you're tired of people saying, "I love your work," without pulling out their wallet, this workshop is for you. It's not about rushing or doing everything at once. It's about building your own ecosystem of conscious connections, the people unique to you, the list only you could create. When you nurture those relationships strategically, the opportunities multiply. The workshop is $97, but because you're listening, you can get $20 off with the code PODCAST20. PODCAST20 to get $20 off a Followers to Collectors workshop and start mapping out how you are going to turn interest into buying. Get all of the details and sign up at artbizsuccess.com/F2C. That's F as in followers, 2 is in the number 2, and C is in collectors. artbizsuccess.com/F2C. Now, back to my conversation with Catherine Hebert. So that brings me to another question that I have. It's about the evolution. There's the onboarding, the before representation, there's the during their shows, and then what happens between shows and after shows, and when the artist is just sitting on the roster. Can we talk about what the relationship in an ideal situation, in yours and my ideal situation, what would that look like over time?
Well, we talked about, you know, kind of before representation, you know, to have that dating period, as you said. Communications is just such a key part. I like to encourage my gallery's clients to have a pretty structured process for shows and communicating what the expectations are for that artist, the deadlines, what the theme of the show is going to be, and really work on that narrative. I mean, I think artists need to understand that galleries are telling a lot of different stories to a lot of different buyers. So to be able to work together on crafting those stories together, I think is so, so important. People buy art for a lot of different reasons, more so now than ever before. So that's a lot of pressure on the gallery to make sure they're able to communicate the artist's story really well, but in different ways for different collectors and why they're buying art, why they want to live with art. And then post-show, I think it's a really good idea after every single show to sit down and really review what went well, what didn't go well, what they want to do in the future. And it's so important for the gallerist to get feedback from the artist. And I would want the artist to feel very comfortable doing that. Very honest feedback about how a show went. So,
yeah. What about after an artist? You talked about, you mentioned regular check-ins. And so what does that look like? Does that look like a Zoom call or studio visits or just phone calls? What does that look like? And the frequency?
It could be anything. I think it should be a regularly scheduled event that has a laid out set agenda of things that you want to cover and make those kind of regular touch points throughout the year. So at least quarterly, I think. And that could be a studio visit. I think that's where a lot of those kind of things happen. I love that we have this video conferencing capability now because we can have a face-to-face. So if a gallery's artist is in a different city or a different country, it's really great to have that kind of FaceTime. But I think it should be a very structured event, at least quarterly, where you could talk about what's going on in the market and the feedback that clients have for an artist's work and what's going on in the studio right now, future plans that the artist might have of bodies of work they want to create, shows, ideas for shows that can help a gallery.
Is this a gallery-driven appointment?
Yes, I think it should be.
Okay.
But that would be kind of an interesting thing to include in a contract that we're going to sit down, we're going to have these regular sort of meetings to just talk about how things are going. That was one of the things that I heard the most from my artist clients when I had my first business was that they never hear from their gallery. They never get any feedback about what happened to a potential sales opportunity, what happened with the commission that they were talking about at one point in time. That really is the biggest thing I think needs to change is better communication. But that's a lot of pressure on a gallery because galleries have a lot of clients.
If the gallery isn't driving this, is it appropriate for the artist to ask for regular meetings?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It, like I said, it's a partnership. So, and you have to remember that the gallery has multiple artists that they're having these conversations with, especially if it's a small gallery that's just one or two people or three people. Yeah. They're pulled in a lot of different directions. Yeah. Plus, you also really want them spending a lot of time following up with sales leads.
Right.
So be a little bit forgiving of the gallery if you don't hear from them. But I would like for the gallerist to certainly make that effort. But if you don't hear it, you know, definitely it doesn't hurt to send an email, pick up the phone and call and remind them, say, hey, I'd really like to have our review as we had talked about when we first started this relationship together.
How does an artist get to that point if they don't have it from the get-go?
Just ask for it.
Yeah. So what if they don't? What if the gallery says, I'm sorry, I don't have time? What does an artist? I'm just anticipating what my people will say to me.
Yeah. Well, God, I hate to hear that that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
I think the artist needs to be clear about what they're hoping to get out of these review sessions, and also talk about the benefits that it will have for the gallerist as well. It's the benefit of both parties so that they can do their roles in this relationship even better.
Yeah.
So I hope that they don't hear that from their gallerist that, no, I don't want to do that. But you'll have to weigh your priorities. Mm-hmm. If you're asking for these review sessions because you feel like the gallery is not fulfilling their duties of what they promised when you entered into this relationship, and then they say no to review sessions, maybe it's time to think about, is this a relationship that you want to stay in?
Yeah.
And if it's not a good relationship, then move on.
Yeah. And again, it's key to get that from the beginning, to have those conversations from the beginning. But I'm thinking of artists that are already in those relationships where they didn't have those conversations. And it's always harder to get something at the time.
That's right. These meetings are really intended to help both parties grow their businesses. So it can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
But if an artist is already in a relationship with a gallerist and they're not having that, they probably would ask for these meetings because there's probably something that is diluting that trust. So that's something that I hope that the gallerist would take into consideration.
What missteps do you think tend to undermine trust on either side?
Yeah. Well, we always go back to the communications, but more specifically, not being clear about what you want from the relationship and the goals that you have for your businesses. Like I said, I would love for gallerists to share their overall strategy for their business and where they want to go, what their vision is for the future. But then also not being clear on what challenges they're facing. I think both parties, the gallerist and the artist, the economy has been a big one in the last year or so. If a gallery is it's really struggling, the foot traffic has died down, they're not getting as many inquiries or leads, you have to talk about that with the artist and let them know. The artist could come back with some ideas to help you. The gallerist may say, this is what I'm planning to do, is to overcome this challenge. And likewise, if an artist is going through something, I mean, maybe they have a sick loved one, or they're moving, or they're going to be in a residency for the next 6 months and won't have as much of an opportunity to communicate or provide new work. Being upfront with this is the great way to kind of get ahead of it. When you are not upfront, you're not transparent about what challenges you're facing, then it starts to feel a little bit sneaky or underhanded. And that's when trust, how can you maintain that?
Yeah. So where do contracts, agreements, and transparency make the difference? Where do they come in?
Yeah, well, we have all read about the ugly relationships that has happened and the, you know, dynamic lawsuits that have been going on and whatnot. But the contract is the way that you can kind of set the expectations up front. And then it's a way for you to come back and measure your success. Is everybody pulling their own weight? Has the power dynamic gotten out of control? Some artists and galleries will have different goals that can all be kind of outlined in a contract. There will be some standard things that you would expect in any artist gallery contract, but feel free also to add to those with something that's more specific to individual needs. But it's a way for you to, for both parties to protect themselves. And I would encourage artists, as they're looking at a gallery contract that I would really kind of expect to come from the gallery, if it is all one-sided protecting the gallery, then that should be a red flag. Make sure that you make that contract is mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
It is in place to protect the artist as much as it is to protect the gallery.
Yeah.
So I would not enter into a relationship as an artist with a gallery if there was not a contract. No way.
Yeah.
Not today. Not in this day and age. You used to be able to do it with a handshake, but society is different.
I wouldn't do it with almost anything. I'm doing a workshop with a client and friend in the spring, And we're going back and forth on the contract, even though we both want the same thing. It's just the wording and little things. And it's protection.
But don't you find that it also kind of helps you think more comprehensively? I mean, a contract can sometimes bring up things like, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
So it's good to make sure that the relationship is really outlined as you intended. And sometimes it can bring up things that you wouldn't have thought of that could really be very beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Or as you said, or red flags that you hadn't thought about. Yeah. So we talked about the regular check-in. Is there anything else around communication or systems that are used for communication that we need to talk about?
Well, I am kind of surprised in this day and age that a lot of my clients don't use certain technologies like Slack or Evernote or ClickUp or, you know, project management type communication tools. I think that would be very beneficial to the artist gallery relationship and building trust if there was a central thing one could go to. It's still kind of be email and phone calls, I think, for the most part, but why not use these tools that are out there?
Yeah.
There's some wonderful gallery systems, and I think that they are going to continually become more and more dynamic. And they're mostly now for managing inventory and communicating with clients. But I bet we'll see some tools for communicating and project management with artists in the future.
Don't you think? I think you and I talked about this previously, but it could have been someone else. Don't you think that galleries were the last in the art world to adopt technologies?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to give away my age, but I can still remember when some gallerists didn't think, we don't need a website.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Really?
Send email to people.
Yeah.
Or get a social media account. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still see a lot of my clients, they'll come to me and you know, they're just pulled in all these different directions. They're feeling just organized and they need a system. And I ask them, well, what kind of systems are you using? How do you manage your inventory? How do you manage your contact database? And they're all over the place.
Yeah.
So technology, I think, is becoming a lot more essential to running a business, running a gallery business.
Yeah.
To catch them before they get too far along and have too many disjointed systems, email systems that don't connect with their contact database and inventory that doesn't match up with their website and social media. So, their gallery sector is famous for being slow adopters.
I think this hopefully might help artists understand what galleries are going through. Many artists are struggling with technology and trying to keep up. But y'all should know that you're doing better than the galleries, but you should also know the galleries are struggling. Like, this is something you can empathize with them about and try to understand that this is something else they're juggling in their busy lives. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how are younger generations of collectors changing the landscape, do you think?
Well, in a lot of ways, I think that the art market in general has changed so dramatically over the last, two decades, let's just say. Because one, there's so many more outlets for presenting and selling art. Now you have your website, you have your physical gallery, you have art fairs, you have auctions have just exploded in the last couple of decades. There's social media. So the younger generations, they have different preferences for how they want to view and experience art. I find that they're also kind of looking for more experiential ways of viewing art as a way for them to connect to it better. Younger generations have a lot less art education than we used to get. For when I was in school, I took art. It was required. But today, it's not necessarily in every school system. And people aren't necessarily taking their kids to museums like they once were. And just you're not taught how to look at art. So having an experience that kind of draws them in an unintimidating way, I think is becoming a lot more important. And of course, they're younger generations are more comfortable buying art from a JPEG or online. So that's a big difference.
Which isn't experiential at all, in my opinion.
Well, but I think we're going to see more of that, where there are more online events or hybrid physical and online events that will happen. So if there's an art opening, maybe there are two or three follow-up events that are online only, like the artist talks are online, or a curator comes in or talks, or there's, I don't know, an author or a poet or a sommelier that comes in and does something that kind of ties in the exhibition. And that could be an online experience as well. So, you know, I think it'll go beyond just kind of like artist takeovers on Instagram and a Zoom call or a video tour of the gallery. Virtual reality will, I think, take shape one day. I don't think it's there yet, but it will. So the way that people, younger collectors, are going to want to view and experience and learn about art, I think, is changing. I think I'm really excited about galleries that offer the collector clubs. This is something I don't see very often, but it's such a neat way to get younger people involved, because you have that social element. It becomes an experience.
Describe what that's like, kind of, when a collector's club is.
Yeah, so think of it almost kind of structured like a meetup. I mean, young collectors would kind of join this group, sometimes with their friends, and the gallerists would organize events either online or around town and in the gallery, of course, that are specifically for that group of people. So it alleviates some of the intimidation factor that younger collectors might experience. It can be a social opportunity, and it's a way for them to kind of learn about art and how to see art and what options there are and how to build a collection, what sort of factors you need to think about when you're building collection, but above and beyond just decorating your living space in a kind of a safer environment, a safer way. And the idea is so that all these people kind of get to know each other, and they go along this journey together as a group. I don't see it very often, but I have seen some galleries do it very, very successfully. And sometimes it's a revenue stream for the gallery. They can charge a membership fee for the opportunities. I'm really excited about this possibility.
Yeah, it is something that museums have been doing.
Absolutely.
And it makes sense for galleries to do it, since they're in the business of sales. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense, but in lieu of...
I ran a group like this at the High Museum for many, many years, and it was my true love.
Yeah, yeah. The moment, being there with them at the moment of discovery, is magical. I want to talk more about this experience thing, because we've all been... It's a pejorative, but... The experiential art, the Van Gogh show, and I've been there.
Yeah.
And these are things that we're competing with, because some people think that's art. And I don't want to be a snob about it. I think it's totally fine for some people. But when you mentioned the experiences, you were mostly talking about events and not experiential, interactive art.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going down the interactive art like the big Van Gogh shows.
It's not interactive, but yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But even the virtual reality things, whether you're putting the glasses on or you're just logging into a website where you can kind of move your mouse around and walk through a virtual gallery, there's those kinds of things. I'm not crazy about them, to be honest. I don't think that they work particularly well.
Yeah.
I'm more talking about experiences that encourage one to have a different relationship, a different outlook, to view art in a new and a fresh way, and to really hear the stories of the artist in new and different ways. And some gallerists are doing some really interesting things around that. During COVID, I had a client that sent out, she had an artist talk, and it was online, of course, galleries were closed, but she there were RSVPs. So people would RSVP to this artist event. And if you RSVP'd, you would be sent by the gallery. I think she sent two different types of gourmet popcorn and like a little bottle of champagne. And so everybody logged on to their Zoom call, their Zoom artist talk, and they all had the same things. And so it was online. Everybody was on their own couches, but you experienced it together. And it kind of helped bring people together a little bit more. So they were more likely to ask questions and to be engaged instead of just kind of watching a presentation online. So that was kind of neat.
And there's another client that would have
you can do lots of things. Yeah. There's another client that would have dinners in the gallery space, and they had different themes to them, and different guest speakers would come in that wasn't always the artist, to tie in maybe something that all people can relate to, like a value or something that was going on in the community. And how does that tie in with the exhibition? There's so many wonderful ideas. Pop-ups can be really interesting experiences for seeing art. And I would like to see the artist and the gallerist work together on these experiences, because I know artists have a different perspective and a fresh take and new ideas. Gallerists kind of tend to, it's easy to kind of get tunnel vision, if you will. So these are ways I think that gallerists and artists can work on creating really exciting, dynamic exhibition themes that you could have all of these supporting events around that could just make the whole experience of the exhibition that much more dynamic and meaningful and fulfilling.
This is why those check-in meetings are so important. This is
absolutely,
you know,
Allison.
When you're working by yourself, you don't come up with these ideas. I mean, maybe you do, but they don't flower. They don't blossom in the way that they can when you're in collaboration with someone else.
Absolutely.
So
it can really be a struggle for the gallerist. And if the artist could partner with their gallery teams in that way, I think good things could only come from
absolutely. Yeah. Okay, before we wrap up, maybe some key highlights. What advice do you have for artists who want to build trust with galleries?
I think that it's very important to remember, for an artist to remember, that galleries have two clients. They have their artist clients that they serve, and of course their expectations around that, but they also have their buyers. And even within their buyers, there's clients that have already purchased and are already advocates. And then there's prospective buyers. That's a lot of different narratives that the gallery has to tell every day in order to fulfill their obligation to their artists. So be very open to providing as much information as possible. I hear from my gallery's clients all the time that, yeah, we'd like to be able to execute this strategy that you're talking about, Catherine, but we can't get any information from our artists, or they don't want to participate in a Zoom call with a potential buyer that's considering buying thousands of dollars worth of art. So that's a huge, huge problem. Just try to remember what the gallerist is up against. You know, they love and support, they want to love and support you as one of their artists, but they have many artists and they have a lot of clients, and they need you to provide as much information and be a participant in the process as much as possible.
Well, I think this is why artists want gallery representations, because I think the galleries are going to do it all for them. But the gallery is really dependent on your, as you said, your stories, and because they have to tell those stories over and over again to their potential buyers. You all really need to be in collaboration on that. What about for galleries to strengthen trust with artists?
Yeah, for galleries, like, the number one thing I would recommend them doing is to be very open and honest and share their overall strategy with their artists, so that the artist knows exactly where the gallery is now and where they intend to go and what the artist role they can play in making that happen. They can walk down the path together and make it happen. But if a gallery is not open about what their mission and their long-term vision is, then I think there's got to be a little bit of a disconnect there, and it'll be harder to kind of build trust. So that's the one thing I wish galleries would do more, is really be sharing your strategy.
It really helps you create a sense of ownership in the place. And yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. All right, Catherine, where can listeners learn more about you and Gallery Fuel?
Yeah. So I am on Instagram and LinkedIn. You can look me up there. And most of the information is on galleryfuel.com. There is a ton of free stuff available. You can become a member, or we can set up a one-on-one strategy call. We've got something very specific that you want to tackle. I'm happy to speak with anyone that needs my help.
Thank you so much. It's been so great to get to know you.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Yeah, and to know the work that Gallery Fuel does. Galleries are lucky to have you.
And your artists are so lucky to have you as well. You do fantastic work.
We should get together and compliment one another more often.
I know, doesn't it feel good? Well, thank you so much. This has really been a lot of fun.
If this conversation with Catherine has you rethinking how you communicate with galleries, take that insight and turn it into action. Reach out to your gallery, start a conversation, or check in with someone who's shown your work before. Every message you send, every follow-up you make, builds a foundation of trust. And if you want help strengthening all of your professional relationships, not just with galleries, but also with collectors and curators, check out my Followers to Collectors workshop. You'll map out real touch points and create a plan to stay connected with the people who are most likely to support and purchase your art. Learn more about it and sign up at artbizsuccess.com/F2C and get $20 off the regular $97 price by entering the promo code podcast20. To read the show notes for this episode, visit artbizpodcast.com and look for episode 244. I know how busy you are and appreciate your taking the time to listen. Please know that somebody out there is waiting for your art.